You're listening to Halford and Brough.
It's the return they got. Because if you had traded Adam Gaudette at the end of last season, for example, don't you think the return would have been a lot higher?
That one sticks out.
It always seems like the Canucks are
selling low.
Waiting and buying high.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
I think Gaudette was ready to go. I think he felt his career was stagnating in Vancouver, and he was ready to move on. And I think the Canucks were ready to accommodate him. They did.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford.
And for adults to not be able to have a glass of wine or a beer on the beach, it's nuts to me.
Yeah.
I've ranted and railed about this before. I don't understand why liquor sales get cut off at certain times.
And Jason Brough.
I'm facing Mike Halford, and I'm having a conversation with you, and you're looking at the inbox.
I know, because
have a conversation with me, your co-host, as opposed to being, oh, let's see what's going on in the text inbox.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Wednesday. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I'm good.
Dom, you kind of made me sound like a real jerk in that intro.
No, you know who made you sound like a real jerk?
You.
You. Mm. You, Jason Brough.
Yeah, I'm learning this.
You're learning that Jason's a jerk?
You know one thing I do...
Rough around the edges.
I do want to know, before the Canucks get back into action, do you have the drop from Kletch? Did we just lose to the you-know-what Canucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's been
mothballs. I sure hope we can use that at least once.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Once.
19 games left. 31.
Yeah. There has to be a dub in there somewhere. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Sabres lost 18 in a row.
Mm. Right.
I shouldn't have brought that up.
I think they'll win. It's just a matter of, for example, if they lose on, or if they win on Friday.
Yeah.
And then I believe they play
Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, Friday at 11 then.
Right. So it could be difficult.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay.
It's the Halford and Brough Show, everybody. Welcome to it. It's a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everybody. You're almost halfway through the week. If you're in your vehicle, you're getting that much closer to Friday. Sweet, sweet Friday. Let me tell you what's happening on this very fine program today. Just two guests. We efforted a third. It never came through, did it? Dan Devine from The Ringer, NBA writer? Nah, that's too bad. Which is, you know, for some, not a bad thing, because you don't want to hear us talk about basketball.
Dom ran out of time.
Yeah.
Tried to get
what am I, Jim Benning?
Just ran.
No.
You see, did you take it day to day?
You see, here's the thing. You don't need to say that, because it was understood, right? Mm-hmm. Did you run out of the time? Jim Benning! Yeah.
Very clutchy of you,
though. I like hitting the punchline.
Very clutch of you.
I enjoy it when you guys banter. I don't think you need a third.
I don't think we do either, but we'll find out today, and so will the listeners. Chris Johnson, our NHL insider from Sportsnet, is going to join us at 6:30, so in exactly 27 minutes' time. We'll go around the NHL with Siege in the aftermath of the trade deadline. A bunch of guys made their debuts for their new teams last night. A bunch of guys will tonight as well. So we'll look ahead to not necessarily... I don't want to look back, per se. I mean, everyone knows the deals, and everyone's written their winners or losers columns, which at what point as a society are we going to stop doing that, do you think? Do you think we ever will?
I enjoy them because then I can read those, and then the next day I'd be like, I really like what Colorado did.
Right. Why can't we just call it like likes and dislikes? We have to call it winners
and
losers.
It helps me cheat for my job.
Good
right?
God. Did you really just say that?
What?
That was so millennial of everybody gets a ribbon.
Likes
we
and
can't
dislikes?
Say winners and losers.
I said likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
That's not participation ribbon.
Yeah, but you're the one who just said, why do we have to say winners and losers?
Oh, yeah. No, I meant it more in the context of like grading a trade in the exact moment after it's done when we all know. Everybody knows it's
people
not.
People want that, though.
I know.
They
some
want
do.
That.
Some
they want
do.
That,
some do.
First of all, for the analysis, and they also want to keep the receipts.
Right. I'm more talking about our evolution as a people. I'm going higher level.
You think we're
here.
Evolving?
Slowly.
I think we peaked in the 90s, and ever since, we've just been kind of on the downhill.
I definitely peaked in the 90s. When you could make mix CDs to pick up people. Yeah, people.
Okay.
You could do it. Okay, anyway, so Siege is going to join us at 6:30. We'll look ahead to what the rest of the landscape looks like, because I feel like we may have been lacking in our knowledge of the NHL. And I say that not even jokingly on an all-sports radio station at 6:05 in the morning, but you and I have acknowledged this, right? It's been tough to pay attention to stories that otherwise would have captivated us in previous seasons because they have no bearing on what the Canucks, and more specifically the North Division, have done this year. I mean, for the large parts of the season, like I didn't care if a team went on a 10-game winning streak in the Mass Mutual East Division.
No, honestly, I didn't either. It didn't make any difference to me.
It affected my life in no way whatsoever.
Have you, and I'll throw this out to the listeners too.
Sure.
Have you watched less hockey?
This year?
Yeah.
That's a good question because I've watched way more of the Canadian teams than I ever have in my entire life.
Yes,
so I feel like it might have balanced out. But there's certain teams this year. For example,
I couldn't tell you the last time I watched Sid play.
Well, him, and the only reason I'll say I have is because for Sportsnet has had an inordinate amount of Penguins games. Mm-hmm. Penguins and Bruins. Wonder why. But there are certain teams this year. For example, yesterday, I guess Florida was playing in Dallas, and it was a late start in Dallas, and it went to overtime.
Apparently, it was a pretty good game, too.
I watched a hockey game. Florida and Dallas in overtime. Florida went on and won. Frank Vatrano scored in overtime. But that was like the first time I had seen the Panthers play.
And I kind of know what the races are now because I've been catching up. So that wasn't a good result for Dallas, obviously, especially since Nashville smoked Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I say this with no shame.
Some people will be like, are those teams in the same division? I don't even know. It's weird, right?
Yeah, the Central Division is weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we'll do with Siege and then with what happens specifically is we're going to whip around everything that we're going to do, traditional sports radio whip around. We're going to look at everything that happened because it was a busy night last night. And we're
starting with the Flames and the Leafs.
That's right.
Milan Lucic's 1,000th game. He got in a scrap right off the hop.
You're stealing all my material.
I don't even know if it was off the hop.
It wasn't. He got in a scrap, though.
Okay.
Happy 1,000 to Luch. Okay, so with Siege is we'll go around the league, but we will also look at a lot of the projected playoff standings. We'll also look at a lot of these playoff chases and playoff matchups if the season ended today. Because we've been talking about the North ones, Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, Edmonton, forever, because they've been locked in for a good long while. So that's coming up. Siege at 8:30. Chris Johnson, our NHL insider here on Sportsnet 650. 8 o'clock, Jeff Patterson, the most bandied about Canucks reporter in town, I would say. He's on with Sakaris and Price. He's on with Donnie and Dolly.
He's a little bit loose.
Got to be a better way to say that.
There actually isn't. I thought of some other ways to say them, and I definitely couldn't say that.
They actually were worse, somehow. he's also on the VanCast with Thomas Drantz. He gets around at Jeff Pat, so he'll be joining us at 8 o'clock. We're now 48 hours away from the Canucks getting back into action. For better or worse, the Canucks are going to play on Friday unless something catastrophic happens in the next 48 hours. Now, according to Canucks PR, before we get into what happened, the facility is going to be opened up sort of in full tomorrow. Media will be able to access Rogers Arena. I assume they're going to have some semblance of an actual team practice, although who knows, because as you heard on the update, a bunch of the players are still in COVID protocol. Now, that list will be updated today. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, I want to do two things before we get to what happened. First is the poll question that we will discuss later, but I'd love to get some listener thoughts.
It's the loon.
This is apropos of nothing, particularly. Like, there's no newsworthy bits that we have, but I have been wondering, do you believe that Travis Green will be the Canucks head coach next season?
Right.
Yes or no? Majority does believe so far. There's been 182 votes, 59%. That's it, 59%, 41% say no. So this is obviously a worthwhile topic because clearly there isn't a strict consensus on whether or not Green will be back.
Yeah.
We'll get into this later. Maybe we'll talk about it with Siege. But text in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. The smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver. Online at DunbarLumber.com.
Say it, Dom.
Dom,
there's two ways to mess it up. Either Smalt or Dunbar Lumber.
Yes.
Yeah. Do other shows do that or just us?
Yeah, no, that's very common.
Okay.
You'd think they'd maybe change the way that the liner was written.
Yeah. It's more memorable this way.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, stumbling over it?
Yeah, because now people expect you to mess it up. They remember Dunbar Lumber.
People go into Dunbar Lumber and they tell the staff there that they're making the small alternative.
Yeah. I have back problems. Do you have something for me? I have a lumbar problem. That's the right, guys on Sportsnet 650 said to visit you guys.
He's like, I don't know, go lie on a piece of plywood.
We got to cancel that account.
Go lie on a piece of plywood for an hour. There's lots here.
I want to read one text message from two-time caller Brian, because he's so dedicated early in the morning. He's already sent in four text messages.
Four-time texter, Brian.
Mm-hmm. And he notes that Jonah Gajewicz now has 11 goals in 12 games. Will we see him Friday? Well, I hope we see him at some point. I have to admit, you know, heading into this season, I had pretty much written off Jonah Gajewicz of the Canucks' top prospects.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he wasn't really producing that much in the AHL. And then also there are lots of question marks about his skating. I don't know if his skating's improved. I haven't been able to watch any Utica Comets games this year, but
right,
it's definitely noteworthy. I mean, I check the Utica stats most nights, and Gajewicz has been there a lot.
Yeah.
He's got 11 goals and 2 assists. So he might win the Cy Young too, which is good. 11 and 2.
Nice.
In 12 games for Jonah Gajewicz. So,
well, you know, we can actually maybe talk about that with Jeff Patterson,
yeah,
at 8 o'clock. There's a lot to get to in the program.
Which guys do you want to see called up? Because I think they're going to need all sorts of bodies.
7 and 8 o'clock hours, we're going to do a lot of Canucks talk, what we learned, et cetera, et cetera. No Dan Devine today. We tried to get an NBA guy on, but alas. Anyway, it doesn't matter because you've got Halford and Brough here with you until 9 o'clock this morning. Let's do what we do at this time, and let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
All right, let's begin with a Scotia division battle that had a local tie to it. Johnny Gaudreau scored 30 seconds into overtime to give the Calgary Flames a 3-2 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena on Tuesday. Before we get into the local angle, Dom, let's hear that game-winning goal.
Turns to the middle of the ice, steps across his blue line, gets to the red line, doesn't like what he sees, so he'll drop the puck to Gaudreau, returns it to Lindholm. Lindholm able to settle down the puck and center it. Gaudreau dances in and scores! A marvelous move by Johnny Gaudreau, who wins this game in overtime. No goalpost kisses, no stick flips, no big hugs from Matthew Tkachuk for David Rittich in his Maple Leafs debut. Sorry, big save, Dave. The Flames win this hockey game 3-2 in overtime.
It felt unnecessarily harsh towards David Rittich, but regardless, the other big story there, of course, is that Milan Lucic skated in his 1,000th NHL contest. He celebrated the affair with a win, which you just heard, beating his former teammate, David Rittich, who actually had to fly with the Flames to Toronto after being traded, because that was the most logical way to go meet up with his new team. And then, of course, he suited up for the blue and white and lost. Lucic got an assist in the game. He got the win. He also got in a fight with Sabourin, got all cut up. But there was a lot of pomp and circumstance around Luch getting to 1,000 games. And, you know, for a guy that has had, at times in his career, a very tumultuous relationship with the city of Vancouver, where he's, of course, from and went to high school at Killarney and all, you know, played with the Vancouver Giants, all that stuff that you know. I think there's been a real embracing of this, if only because everyone understands that this was a real... This was a challenge to get to 1,000 for him, given how the back end of his career is going.
I have always hoped the best for Luch.
Yeah.
Obviously cheering against him in the Stanley Cup final. And he ended up being a fairly big part of that Stanley Cup final, especially with his hit on Dan Hamhuis that put Hamhuis out of the series early. He is a quintessential Vancouver product. Grew up in Vancouver, played for Coquitlam, and then the Vancouver Giants, where he was drafted out of, and had a lot of success with the Giants, won a Memorial Cup with the Giants. I remember watching this guy at the Coliseum and frankly not thinking he's an NHLer, because mm-hmm. I didn't think he could skate well enough. But he goes to Boston, And he is almost immediately a fan favorite in Boston because I think he fought everything that he could.
Yep.
And he was a massive hitter. He was almost immediately, if he wasn't the scariest player in the NHL, he was one of them. Like every time you were out on the ice and you were playing the Bruins and Milan Lucic was out there, he was looking to do something that was going to make the crowd go nuts.
There was an anecdote making the rounds that a bunch of scouts were saying for a stretch there was two guys in the NHL and really only two that could make an impact on a nightly basis without being high-end skill guys. And it was Milan Lucic and Shea Weber just because of their physicality.
Right.
And that's like a very select group, both BC guys, by the way.
And I think both those players showed that they're more than just rugged. Right, totally. They're really good players, or they were. I mean, Luch is the classic case of he gets a little bit older, and he wasn't a great skater to begin with. So when he slowed down just a touch, that really affected him. And I think his hands have really been affected for whatever reason.
Yeah, but he's still going. That's the thing. Like, I thought, okay, maybe the end is nigh, because he was of that very unfortunate 2016 free agent class, remember, that included Louis Erickson, Andrew Ladd, and of course Milan Lucic as some of the more onerous contracts.
What did you think was going to happen? He's been largely pretty healthy for his entire career.
I thought he was going to get bought out at some point, and then he was.
I think that contract is just too.
Right. I mean, they've moved it around. It's been moved around a couple times now. But I just thought at a certain point, because of the skating, that he might have gotten Louis Erickson. But, you know, full marks to him, man. Like, he has played. Regular, he's by no means the effective player he once was, but he hit 1,000 games.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. So that was the story there. Calgary's won 2 in a row. Toronto's lost 2 in a row. Nothing's interesting yet with regards to the playoff chase in the North. I don't think it'll get there. Calgary would need to go on some kind of crazy, crazy run. I think I read somewhere that if the Habs went 500 down the stretch, Calgary would need to go like 11-2-1 or something like that. Like, it is, they've won 2 in a row. You know, maybe they got a bit of juice. I don't know. But, you know, it's not going to happen there. And let's be honest, I really don't think it's going to happen with the Canucks, who now, of course, have games in hand on the Habs, but I believe are 10 points back. Let's go out of Canada, out of the Scotia Division entirely. Let's go.
I'm not comfortable doing this.
Washington. We got two stories here. One is the high, the Washington Capitals. One is the low. The Philadelphia Flyers. Anthony Mantha had a goal and an assist in his Washington Capitals debut on Tuesday night. A 6-1 bombing of the Philadelphia Flyers at Capital One Arena on Tuesday. Let's hear Mantha's first goal as a Cap.
Sanheim away back into the Washington end. Flyers still can't set up. Backstrom coming with now Mantha in front. He scores! Oh, what a shot! Welcome to Washington, Anthony Mantha! 10:38 to go in the second. What a shot from the slot for number 39. It's 5-1 Washington.
Well, I'm going to be really intrigued to see what that deal does for Washington. I think it's a huge shot in the arm, right? It's not a rental. That's the big thing. This is a guy that they are going to utilize as a core player moving forward because he's a lot younger than a lot of the guys that they have on that team.
How heavy is Washington's top six?
Oh, it's just loaded.
Oh, no, I'm talking heavy.
Oh, you mean like heavy
hockey? Heavy.
Because I don't think everyone understands. Mantha's a big dude.
He's a big guy, and I think he's one of those guys where they've called him a power forward, and they're kind of hoping to use his size. But seriously, Ovi on the top line, Kuznetsov is a center, Tom Wilson on the other side. And on the second line right now, at least, they've got Mantha, Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, who's kind of a tank too.
He's a fire hydrant. I really like.
And then, of course, on the third line, Connor Sherry.
Woo. Yes. Also a fire hydrant, just in a smaller fashion. You mentioned Alex Ovechkin. He made it 6-1 yesterday, scored his 728th NHL goal. That puts him 3 short of Marcel Dion for 5th all-time in NHL history. So he's going to surpass that this year. Mm-hmm. He'll move into 5th all-time. We won't go too far down the road about, is Ovechkin the greatest goal scorer of our generation?
Oh, wait a minute. Yes. So is that, how many goals has he had since our bet?
What was our bet?
Yeah, what was your bet?
From that date, he had to score 100 goals. Did anyone write down the date?
No. What's going on? I don't even remember the bet. Did we make it on the air here at 6:50?
No.
No?
It didn't?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I think it did.
We'll have to go back. If anyone knows.
What else would we have been doing it on? We don't hang out after the show or anything.
Oh, fair enough.
If anyone has kept the receipts and knows, text into the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. We made some kind of bet.
Yeah.
We made a couple.
We made a bet that from, I think it was like a week ago. Maybe it wasn't on the show. It was like a week ago that Ovi would score. So we set the over-under at 100 more goals for his career. I took the under, and Halford took the over.
Yeah. I also remember the wager, but everything is like in the ether now. Like, okay. I don't – it could have been when we were unemployed. It might have been when we were back at 1040. I don't remember. Yeah. But I know the bet you're talking about. It's very weird. Everything's kind of melded together.
We got to stop doing so many weed gummies.
It's true.
Like, losing our
– settle down, the both of you. So that's the story out for Washington. For Philly, I like AV a lot.
He's not getting fired. Did you see he kind of got a vote of confidence?
Yeah, so what does that mean?
I think that means
he's getting fired.
No. A lot in considering he's got 3 years left on his deal, I think, and he's making quite a lot of money and revenues are down.
Sure. I got a feeling he's done. They are. He's got 3 years left after this one at $5 million per. I understand the financials, but I think the most damning thing was that Chuck Fletcher, who, remember, was brought into Philadelphia for, what was the line that they used? A bias for action. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do, but I don't think they used it necessarily for him.
For Chuck Fletcher?
Yeah. They used it when they fired Hex.
Yeah, right, but they wanted someone that had a bias for action.
Well, yeah, probably.
Anyway, I think the biggest condemnation here is that he did absolutely nothing to that team at the deadline. I think that he knows, and a lot of people in Philly know, apparently Keith Jones went off in the post game.
No. They're done. If you look at that, would have been like the Canucks adding.
So why would you not sell off a bunch of pieces or
assets?
Oh,
okay. I thought you meant they were going to – they should
be
buyers
they're
or
out.
Something.
They are out. I feel bad. AV's in a bad situation there. So let's go to Boston now. Taylor Hall made his debut, his first game as a Boston Bruin yesterday, and they got a win. A 3-2 shootout against the Buffalo Sabres, Taylor Hall's old team, at TD Garden. It was Charlie Coyle with the shootout winner. Dom, do we have it?
On comes Charlie Coyle.
Loves that move to the forehand, remember?
He's 1-for-4 this year.
That was a goal moving to his forehand.
Deke. Charlie Coyle collects the puck. He'll skate into the slot. Now angle left, cuts back to his right. Stick handles, look, shoots and scores!
That can't be a one-trick pony.
That was the goal there, so they eke out a victory. They hold on to a slim lead in the East on that fourth playoff spot. I don't imagine you watched too much of this one. Hall.
It's not that slim. They got a 4-point lead over the Rangers, and they got two games in hand on the Rangers.
Yeah, but if you look at the rest of the chases, it's that one and the one in the West for a playoff spot, really. I mean, I don't think the one in the Central is. Well, we'll get to that one in a minute.
The Central's very compelling, I think.
Isn't it? It's a 5-point gap between Nashville and Chicago right now.
Dallas is still in the mix, though, I think.
Yeah. So Hall played 16:43. There was skating alongside David Krejci on the second line. There was a couple looks on the power play. Finished +1, 3 shots on goal. But it looked very, very tenuous. He looked uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He looked like a guy that, like, every time I touch a puck, something bad happens.
He has no confidence.
He has
right
zero
now.
Confidence
I believe
now.
He said so.
Yeah, and it looks like
Ryan
it.
O'Reilly went to Buffalo and fell out of love with hockey.
Right.
And Taylor Hall went to Buffalo and lost all his confidence.
Right.
What's the lesson? Don't go to Buffalo.
Stay out of Buffalo, kids. Stay out of Buffalo. One final game we'll get to before we turn it over to Chris Johnson on the other side of the break. We haven't talked really at all about teams like Nashville since we started here at Sportsnet 650, but I think we need to start paying attention to what the Nashville Predators have done over the last little bit. They won again yesterday, and Taylor Hall's debut in Boston, although a little iffy in a personal respect, was a hell of a lot better than David Savard's debut as a Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday. 7-2, the Preds beat the Bolts.
So, and it was all his fault.
Honestly.
The whole thing.
Savard was paired with Victor Hedman. Savard went -4. In a 7-2 loss. I know everyone talks about minus, plus, minus, whatever. Okay. It is what it is at that stage of the game.
Also going to ask Siege about the coaching situation in Vancouver, if he's heard anything about Travis Green, because it is our poll question today. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that Travis Green will be back as head coach for the Vancouver Canucks? Most of you do, but not by a long shot. I think it's about 59% say yes, 41% say no. It's been a very odd situation, I felt, with Travis Green all season. It's a Halford and Brough show, Sportsnet 650.
I believe that betting was coming back for some time now. And I also believe that the contract is guaranteed. I know there have been a lot of rumors out there about options. I don't believe that's the case.
That was Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman yesterday on the People's Show, if I'm not mistaken. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. We'll get into the betting side of things in the 7 o'clock hour. It sounds as though the Vancouver Canucks general manager will be back. But will their head coach? It's the subject of our poll question today. You can check it out at Sportsnet 650 on Twitter. And it will be the first question we ask of our next guest. Joining us as he does every week here on the Halford and Brough Show, our good buddy, Chris Johnson, NHL insider from Sportsnet. What up, Siege? How are you?
Good morning. The view is great here from Mount Everest at the summit. We've got through trade deadline. We're at the top. Everything's great.
Terrific. Yeah,
we
made it through.
Okay.
Here we are.
Good.
You know, we'll get into the trade deadline ramifications
it's
in a minute.
Pretty boring climb in Vancouver.
But we wanted to start with the coaching now, because there are a lot of guys, and as we kind of are done with the player transactions, we move to coaching extensions. There are a lot of interesting coaches with uncertain futures, none more so than Travis Green and the Vancouver Canucks. Based on your insiderly sources or anything that you've either heard, seen, or read, anything that you know, what's your sense of this situation? Because it's been percolating for a while. We're getting close to the end of the regular season. The Canucks aren't going to be a playoff team, and there's still no real resolution in sight.
Well, there's not. And, you know, I would say that almost every day that passes, it just seems more likely that this is headed towards a breakup. Or, you know, Travis Green's only under contract for, what, another couple months here officially to the team. And, you know, it's a little bit unusual for someone, I think, that's had the success he has the last few years, the experience that the team had in the bubble last summer, which I know feels like miles ago. But, you know, clearly there's been growth, you know, since he's been in that position, and that they didn't extend him. You know, I think it starts the point eventually where, you know, he's got to look around and consider what's best for him and his family, too. And so, you know, I don't think it's been on the front burner with the last couple of weeks and everything that the team, the organization's been dealing with the COVID outbreak. But, you know, I would, you know, if they don't do something quickly, you know, I would think that he's going to have to start looking elsewhere just because he doesn't have a contract. And so, you know, it's a bit of a puzzling one to me. You know, I'm viewing this from afar, of course, but, you know, I think Travis has done a pretty good job with this team and, you know, the young players in particular. And so, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's been a priority to get him locked up. And, you know, that's a little bit of a head scratcher.
It's a very curious one here too, in Vancouver. And Jim Benning said very recently, just a few days ago on Sportsnet 650, he was asked about the goaltending coach, Ian Clark, who's also a pending free agent and is very well regarded in Vancouver. He said, our intention is to bring the whole coaching staff back. We're going to do everything we can to bring Ian back as well as everyone else. I think Ian is excellent. He's done a great job with our goalies, especially Thatcher Demko. So I'm trying to figure out why this isn't done yet. Is Travis Green holding out for too much, at least according to ownership? Because Jim Benning has said time and time again, we want to bring Travis Green back. I like Travis as a coach. So the only thing I can conclude is either, I don't know, maybe he's not telling the full truth, or ownership isn't willing to sign off on what Travis Green wants.
That's where it all points, right? And you know, I don't know specifically what he's asking for and what they've offered. You know, I don't have that level of information, but you know, look, that the coaching, there's a pretty clear, you know, sort of tiers, I guess, for what coaches make. That isn't always disclosed publicly, but privately, you know, all the coaches are in an association together and they share that information. Travis would know what his value is based on what other, you know, people around the league that have, you know, getting their second contract the way he's about to as a head coach in the NHL would make. And, you know, I'm sure he's asking for fair market value there. Now, the organization might be, you know, viewing this as, look, this is a different environment. It's a pandemic. No one's making money. You know, what guys were getting paid 2 years ago isn't relevant here. You know, we've seen that with free agents, and I think we're going to continue to see that sort of conversation happen around anyone in the sport that needs to get a contract. And maybe that's the bet that they're making. But, you know, I think that Travis has leverage in this situation. If he goes to the open market, I believe that he'll be able to get what he's worth. And so the question comes down to, is the organization willing to pay him what other people in his position are being paid or not? And, you know, I think we're going to get an answer on that pretty soon because, you know, the season's only got a few weeks left. I know it's going to be a crazy finish for the Canucks, and maybe his contract situation won't be dealt with, you know, while playing 19 games in 31 days, if that actually happens. But, you know, pretty soon after, and by mid-May, you know, they're going to have to make a decision because, you know, other teams are probably going to relieve their coaches of their duties somewhere in and around that time, and he's going to be a commodity that they're going to want to talk to if he's not staying in Vancouver.
Okay, you brought up two really important things, I think, for this conversation. One is the coaching tier and the hierarchy in the group, and then the two is the market, right? I mean, that's the big thing here. So let's start with the coaching fraternity right now and where it's at. Is this a commonality with – it's like maybe this isn't just exclusive to Vancouver, because I know there's the situation with Torts in Columbus. There's the situation with Tocchet in Arizona, and I believe Brind'Amour in Carolina, where these are all guys, active head coaches, that don't have certainty beyond this season. So is maybe part of this that the Canucks aren't necessarily an outlier, that this is about something that's going on across the league where owners...
Canucks want to give Torts another chance.
No, but look, there's all these other coaches.
The stars are aligning for it.
Yeah. Let's not go there just yet. Keep it on focus. Is this something that maybe is a bigger league-wide issue that we're just not noticing because we're really hyper-focused on what's happening just in Vancouver?
There's maybe a small element of that, but I think each of the situations you highlight there kind of have their own unique variables. Like, for example, Tortorella in Columbus, there's some question, you know, whether he wants to be back, whether sure. They want him back, that maybe they just exhausted their relationship and he'll probably test the market. I think Rod Brind'Amour, there's an understanding. Yeah, he's not paid, you know, commiserate to some of the other coaches, but he doesn't want to live anywhere else but Raleigh. He's kind of a lifelong Hurricane, and I think there's an understanding he's going to stay there. It's just a matter of figuring out what he gets paid. You know, Tocchet is his in a situation where he was hired by the previous general manager, Bill Armstrong, took over a year ago. You know, I think it's normal in that kind of scenario for the new GM to want to evaluate the head coach before making a decision to keep him or not. And so I think there's unique variables with each of them that sort of don't say it's all just one thing. And, you know, look, I think Travis wants to stay with the Canucks. I don't believe anyone's bluffing, you know, based on anything he said publicly on that. It's just, it's sort of like me. I like working at Sportsnet, but if they're not going to pay me what I'm worth, you know, at some point you might go work somewhere else if there's an option. And so, you know, there's still time for the organization to step up and pay him what he's worth, pay Ian Clark, you know, give everyone contracts and keep the band together. But I just think the closer we get to mid-May and we're at mid-April somehow, I mean, it just suggests that this isn't going well or that someone isn't making that happen. And I'm not sure what more you're going to learn. I mean, this is going to be a tough finish of the season, obviously, because of the circumstances. But, you know everything you need to know about this guy, and you have to decide if you want to keep him and do it pretty soon.
Yeah, and I mean, the two other things to consider here. One is that Seattle still has to hire a head coach. And two, there are some pretty good guys that are out there that, by all accounts, would like to get back into the game. Gerard Gallant is one. Bruce Boudreau is another one. Claude Julien is another one. So there's a lot of different dynamics in the coaching ranks. One other coaching question for you before we move on to the actual player side of stuff. Alain Vigneault in Philly, 3 years left on his deal after this one at $5 million per. So it would be a very costly dismissal. But I look at this team and just how unraveled it has become this year. I was watching Keith Jones on the post game, and he like minced no words saying what a disaster this season has been. They're way up there in goals against. The goaltending's been bad. They've been leaky defensively. AV's tried some things. They haven't worked. He's tried to do the thing where he AV things with the young guys and sit them down and make them watch, and there hasn't been a response. How do you see this situation playing out in Philly?
The one thing that might buy them some extra time is that they were one of the teams that was pretty badly hit by COVID. And if you look at when their season in terms of results really tailspin was after that period, they, you know, like the Canucks, they missed an extended amount of time. They had, you know, pretty far reaching outbreak. And so just because, you know, I don't know if we fully understand the long-term effects of what this thing can do. You know, they would have a little better, you know, insight into that internally after kind of living through it. You know, I think it might buy him some more time, but you know, he's on pretty shaky ground for someone who signed a $25 million five-year deal and is as well respected as he is, because Philadelphia is the one organization over time that's proven it's willing to pay to undo mistakes or to move on from someone. I mean, they gave Ilya Brizgalov a massive, you know, contract buyout a few years ago. And, you know, I just think that they're sort of an impatient organization in the best way possible. If you're a fan, they're not just going to ride something into the ground. You know, that they'll be looking for a response. And I think what'll be most interesting in Philadelphia is where things go with the relationship with Carter Hart, because, you know, this has not been a great season for him personally, but obviously there's some indications there. The coach has been hard on him and, you know, had some tough words for him in the media this year. And, you know, he's the franchise goaltender they've been looking for. I still believe in his potential and what we've seen in his results, you know, prior to this year. And so they've got to repair that relationship, I think, to some degree, give him a new contract and figure out where they're going with AV.
Does Philly ever not have goaltending issues?
I know, it's crazy.
Like, it's
1 year.
It is 1 year. Crazy. It's like the Cleveland Browns and quarterbacks before Baker. Well, even then, we're still kind of watching.
They had one year where it looked like Carter Hart was the solution. Like, it was all going to go uphill from here. And then this year happened. It's been a really startling turn of events, though, because I remember last year, I mean, everyone was talking up Philly as being this dark horse candidate to make a Stanley Cup run, and everyone was really excited for what they were going to do in the bubble, and everyone was so enamored with all these young guys that had, you know, ascended into the lineup and had kind of managed to breathe new life into guys like Giroux and Voracek, who were on the wrong side of 30 and maybe on the twilight of their careers, and everything looked good. And then this year happens, and you brought up a good point with it's such an odd year, and COVID really wreaked havoc with this team. But you could almost put some of those issues aside and say, yeah, but, especially when it came to the friction with Vigneault and a lot of their guys, including a very important player in Carter Hart.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key, I think, honestly. I mean, especially, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel personally. I just think that you've seen enough from him to believe it's there. And you know, this season's been a disaster for the team. You know, for him, it's not been what he wants either. But what is he, 22 maybe still? Like, I just think I would be betting on him being what he's been so far with the right support around him, with the proper offseason, with a fresh start, whatever it's going to be. And, you know, hopefully better D in front of him. I think Philly is going to be a team that's very active this offseason, you know, through trade probably, but potentially free agency in you know, reshaping their blue line and you know, trying to get a big piece, I think, to play at the top of it. And, you know, it's a huge offseason for Chuck Fletcher. I mean, there's a Vigneault decision or you know, having to figure out which direction you're going there. But, you know, I think the roster clearly needs a bit of a remake, too.
We're talking to NHL Sportsnet insider Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Siege, we talked about a bunch of teams being disappointments this year, but I think I've highlighted the two that maybe more than any. Calgary and Philadelphia. Who's been the bigger disappointment in terms of preseason expectations?
I'd say Calgary, you know, just because they did have a pretty ambitious-ish offseason. You know, free agency has its perils, but, you know, you guys know what Jacob Markstrom is, and they signed him essentially to address what had been a glaring need for them. You know, it hasn't worked out so far. You know, I think Tanev's actually worked out pretty well for them, but you know, given that I think the last two seasons before this one, they'd won the most games of any team in Canada. They felt that if they solidified the goaltending, that they would be able to go on a run. And, you know, look, every Canadian team entered this year, I think, with, you know, some good feelings, because there's no true powerhouse in this division. I mean, there's some powerhouse players, but, you know, none of these organizations have really accomplished anything yet. And so I think where Calgary's season has gone, the fact that, you know, there's still a month left in the season, and I guess mathematically they're clinging to some hope here. They play Montreal tonight. It's the team they're chasing in the playoffs. You know, they I think they have five of the next seven games against the Canadiens, so they can sort of talk themselves into, if they sweep that series, yeah, they're still in it. But, you know, they're on life support, and it's a long way out from the finish. And they've made a coaching change that hasn't, you know, it's changed the way they play. I was at the game last night here in Toronto, very low event hockey with Daryl Sutter, but it hasn't really changed the results. And so, you know, I think there's another place where it could be a pretty chaotic offseason and no one could be feeling too comfortable right now.
See, this might be a little too detailed for you right now, considering we're just getting past trade deadline. But when I look at the Flames defense and I think about the expansion draft coming up, You got Mark Giordano, Noah Hanifin, Rasmus Anderson, and Chris Tanev. I suppose they could protect 4D and just protect four forwards. Doesn't seem likely, though. One of those guys is going to have to be on the outside looking in. Could they possibly leave their captain, Mark Giordano, unprotected in order to make sure that Seattle didn't take Hanifin, Anderson, and the newly signed Chris Tanev?
I guess it's possible. I would think that they're a team that's probably, you know, already up giving Ron Francis a call to see if, if there's a trade to be made to work things out. You know, the one benefit is, you know, I'm not sure Seattle, as great a guy as Mark Giordano is and the career he's had, you know, I think that they're going to be looking for sort of mid-20s assets rather than mid-30s assets. And so with the right trade, they might be able to protect them. But for sure, they're one of the teams, and I know we talked about this last week, you know, there's fewer teams this year that have the issues that teams had heading into the Vegas expansion, but there still are some. And, you know, I think that that's a bit of a delicate situation for the Flames. But I think one way or another, they'll find a way to keep Giordano there, you know, unless he wants a fresh start, which I don't believe he does. You know, I think that he's meant too much to the organization that they're not just going to expose him and, you know, have him finish out a couple years in Seattle.
Siege, you're the best, buddy. Thanks a lot for doing this today. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. We will talk again next Wednesday.
I look forward to it, guys. Be well.
You too. Thanks. That's Chris Johnson, Sportsnet's NHL insider here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Before we go, a reminder for all golfers, get your great Vancouver golf for less. Go to vancouvergolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. Coming up on the other side, we will answer our poll question. Do you expect Travis Green to be the Canucks head coach next season? It's Halford, it's Brough, it's Sportsnet 650.
There's nothing to report on that. Like I've said all along, our intention is to work with them to try to bring them back. But I got nothing to report on as of right now.
You have nothing, Jim. You have nothing to report.
Oh, are we correcting pronunciations and grammar now?
Just grammar.
English scholar.
I'd rather Alvin. You would talk your words right.
We ain't got nothing. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Home of the Vancouver Canucks, our poll question today. Do you think Vancouver Canucks current head coach Travis Green will be future Vancouver Canucks head coach Travis Green? And by future, we mean next season. Answers for this poll question, yes and no. There is no let's wait and see what happens option in the poll question. We are very black and white here at the Halford and Brough Show. Good results so far in terms of voter turnout. 510 votes so far. 56.9, yes, nice. 56.9% say yes. 43.1% say no. I'm a little surprised that many people are voting yes.
I voted yes.
See, right now, I feel like they've gone this far without.
Mm-hmm.
All signs kind of point to a breakup.
Right.
Like the magic eight ball, like point to the back of the jacket. And it says, we're breaking up, baby. Like, I just feel like it's not going to happen.
Well, that's what Chris Johnson just said on the station. I think.
But also, I guess don't know I'm why. At. It's no, like when right. two people break up and you're like, but you guys seem fine together.
And also, like, how often have you heard, I mean, I know there's the whole vote of confidence jinx in sports, whatever. But Jim Benning has said all season that he wants to bring Travis Green back. And what you hear behind the scenes is that Jim wants to bring Travis back, but he doesn't have the money to do it.
He doesn't have the budget.
So,
but maybe he's saying that because he doesn't have anything else to say.
I think he would like to bring Travis Green and Ian Clark back.
I do as well.
I honestly don't think
maybe there's nothing else to add to that. Like, I would like it to happen, and he can't say the but.
When he said...
And the but is probably like, but I don't know if it will happen.
Okay, so that audio that Dom played,
yeah,
he says, we'll work with those guys, right, to try and get something done. And Tire Man Shane texts in, 650-650, do you think maybe Green is just asking for too much money? I think that could be the case.
Now,
but I also think,
okay,
well,
hold on.
Too much money for the Canucks.
Right.
I'm not talking about too much money just in general, but this is a very unique situation we're in that revenues are altered completely, mm-hmm. and Travis Green is going for a new contract, and I'm sure ownership is sitting there going, no. I don't even want to see your comparables because they're not relevant anymore. We're in a new age right now in the NHL as far as mm-hmm. revenues are concerned. So anything that happened pre-COVID isn't a comparable for us. But I'm sure Travis looks at Cap Friendly, and there's a list of the coaches and their salaries. Not all, in fact, most salaries aren't reported. They're not public.
It's like half.
But of the ones that are, Travis is the lowest paid guy.
Right.
$1 million.
And then I think Tockett's there.
At 1.5. And it's unknown. He's one of the Coyotes, right?
And it's unknown what Brindamore makes, but I believe he's in around the same value.
Sure.
He's done, that's what Dundon does.
But who are some of the big dogs?
The big dogs. Todd McLellan, $5 million per AV, yeah. $5 million per Barry Trotz at 4.
Okay.
Now, Peter Laviolette at 4.9.
Okay, so Travis Green doesn't have that kind of resume. Mm-hmm. But he is fairly regarded, fairly well regarded, I think, in the NHL. All of that ownership has said is that he's done a good job.
David Quinn walked into the New York Rangers job. Now, the New York Rangers job is different. Coaching the Rangers is just different. It just is. But he walked into that Rangers job and got $2.4 million per over 3 years. So that's a pretty nice contract for a guy that had a grand total of zero NHL experience prior to taking the job. Now, so too did Travis Green. His first NHL coaching gig has been with the Vancouver Canucks. This is it. But he has done more on the job than a lot of these guys. The conversation you're talking about is like the line from Knocked Up where they try and get into the club. He's like, you're old for this club, right. Not for the earth, but for this club. Like Travis Green might be asking for too much money with this club, not for the rest of the NHL or within the coaching fraternity, but for this club, his ask might be too rich. And that's a thing. Also, it's funny because Siege kind of indicated that Green has leverage. I would almost argue the counter because there are going to be some coaches that are going to be relieved of their duties at season's end because there always are. Mm-hmm. There's already some pretty good coaches right now that are unemployed. Gerard Gallant, Bruce Boudreau, Claude Julien. Those are all good NHL coaches, guys that you could get in that are unemployed right now that aren't exactly doing a whole hell of a lot. Bruce Boudreau is doing radio on an NHL network. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, are they just sitting and waiting? Do they think that there might be more value elsewhere with a more veteran established guy? And I'm going to say the two words right now that I don't want to say out loud, but I got to say them out loud.
No, let Terry and Langley do it.
Fine.
For you. So you don't have to do it.
Fine.
Terry and Langley texts in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650 and says, happy thoughts. Y'all ready for the Mike Babcock era in Vancouver?
Two words.
And then there are some emojis that suggest that the emoji is not feeling very well.
Mike Babcock. I'm just putting it out there because I don't like it, but I could absolutely see it happening.
Isn't he coaching at the University of Moose Jaw or something right now?
I don't believe there's a university at Moose Jaw, but he is coaching CIS hockey right now. Yeah, I got a feeling he might leave that program to take an NHL job.
But he said he'd stay there, and this was a commitment of over, like, he was going to be there next season, too. He said.
Did he say it out loud?
He said it out loud. Unibrough show on...
University of Saskatchewan.
Okay, I know. Moose Jaw's funny.
But I actually didn't know which school it was. I couldn't remember. I knew it was a school in the prairies, but I couldn't remember which one. University of Saskatchewan.
Of course he's going to Saskatchewan.
That's right. That's where he's from.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Love it. Love it here on the prairies.
Don't need to do that yet.
Love the...
I don't want to entertain
this. Love
the crisp,
cool air here in Saskatoon.
Stop doing your Babcock. While good and very accurate representation, I don't want to go there right now. It's too early. 6:58 on a Wednesday. I don't want to do this.
Look, it's real simple. Sometimes you just got to do the impression.
That's it. I'm cutting you off. Okay. We're going to go to break now. 7 o'clock hour. Lots more hockey talk to come. Lots of Canucks talk to come. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet, 6:50.
I can't let you in because you're old as for this club, not, you know, for the earth.
What?
You old, she pregnant. Can't have a bunch of old pregnant running around. That's crazy.